How many people here love to receive gifts? Raise your hand. Okay, and if you don't have your hand up, as I said last week, just forward your gifts to me, and I will use your gifts, and if I don't like those gifts, I'll repackage them, and I'll give those gifts out to someone else. We all love gifts, right? We love the very idea of gifts, and why do we love gifts so much? Because by their very nature, they are given to us out of a spirit of love. Right? They're given to us out of a spirit of love. When someone gives you something, you feel like, gee, that was some kind of sacrifice. That person thought about me. That person cared for me. And so they gave me something. Whatever it is, small or large, we love the idea of it. And we like the idea of receiving the gift that is expected, like birthday or Christmas, right? We expect gifts on birthday and Christmas. But we also love the unexpected gift, that random, oh my goodness, I just came out of the blue and you gave me this wonderful gift. Thank you. But in a broader context of gifts, we have to also look about the gifts God has given us. You see, God gave you gifts because He gave them to you out of a sacrificial love as well. What was that sacrificial love? Jesus Christ. And out of that sacrificial love of Christ, you have been given gifts. And the very idea of giving a gift or getting a gift is by its nature proactive. Well, what do I mean by that? If you give a gift, it is proactive, right? It's not passive. You actually had to do something. You had to, at some level, put the gift together, whether you bought it or prepared it, and you gave it. But guess what? If you're on the receiving end, it's proactive also. You don't receive a gift passively. You receive a gift proactively. How so? There's an expectation. Once you get the gift, you're going to thank Him and do something with the gift, right? No one ever gives the gift and says, I bought you this, and you say, oh, that's wonderful, thanks. The expectation is you're going to do something with the gift. So it's proactive. And I want to speak today about the gifts and you helping you recognize the gifts by realizing whatever gift God has given you is not meant to be passive in your life. It's meant to be proactive. No one has ever given you something to be passive, and God didn't give you the gifts to be passive. It's meant to be proactive. And that's so important for us to get a hold of, because a lot of people today treat things very passively. The very idea of a proactive gift within a koinonia, within a small fellowship or a large fellowship, means that the apostles, who spoke in great length about that, meant that you have been given gifts for the body. And we saw that last week in the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 4. And today we're going to look at it in Romans 12. And we're going to see that Peter and Paul are on the same line speaking about the gifts in the body. So let's look at our passages here in Scripture. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and go to verse 3. Romans 12 verse 3. Like they used to do in Sunday school when you were little. They said, whoever gets there first, raise your hand, you get a piece of candy. I'll start throwing candy at you. Amen. Romans 12, 3. As you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and start reading this. This is from the words of the Apostle Paul speaking to the church that is in Rome. For by grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And here we have an important part of this. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, in liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. He who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And what I love about what Paul shares here in Romans, just as a quick side note, you notice he speaks about all kinds of gifts there. He talks about spiritual gifts, And he talks about what we might call behind-the-scenes gifts. He talks about prophecy or teaching, and then he talks about those who contribute, and those who give aid, and those who give mercy. So he talks about gifts as a general idea of a principle of God giving you gifts. And after reading that passage, I think the logical question that one might ask is either, what is my gift from the Lord? Or you may already know or have a strong inclination of what that gift is. But today, there's a lot of this personal kind of preaching. And what I mean by that is this. I want to help you discover you. And unfortunately, this self-discovery journey that we like to go on, who am I? What am I about? What am I supposed to do on this earth? Sometimes, unfortunately, it comes at the cost of emphasizing one's function within the body. So we say, oh, I'm a this, whatever this is, you know, I'm an X. I'm an X, and therefore I have this great gift that does not mean I have to be associated with the body. But of course, this kind of defies what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter 4 from last week, and it defies what Paul is talking about, because we're called to be part of one body. One body. And so many have said, well, that means we're part of one body, church universal. That's true. But you're also part of a local body. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the local body as well. So here's the truth of the matter. You're supposed to discover the gifts God has given you. You're supposed to use the gifts God has given you. But you're not supposed to leave behind the fellowship of what God has blessed you with also. And guess what? The gift has given you enough from God to not only bless your fellowship locally, but extend beyond the borders of your fellowship. This is what I shared with you last week. You'll never be able to exhaust your gift. If God gave it to you, it's meant to mature. It's meant to reach and spread. But we have to also spread in proportion, right? You know, it's wonderful if you are fantastic at providing for your family and you go out and you save the world but neglect your family. We have a little bit of an imbalance, don't we? So there's a balance that we have to also learn. And we're going to talk about how to get that balance, because today's message is how to discover your gift. So I want to ask you a little bit of a question, another quick poll. Raise your hands. How many people here believe they know what their gifts are? Raise your hand if you believe you know what your gifts are. Okay? How many people here believe they know what their spiritual gifts are? Raise your hand. Okay, not as many. It's okay. There's no right or wrong here. How many people believe that a natural gift given by God can be used for a spiritual purpose? That's interesting. How many people have no idea what their gifts are? Raise your hand. That's okay. Good. And how many people here have no idea what I'm talking about? Do not raise your hand at all. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? When we ask, we get a great sampling even in our fellowship. You know, there are people who believe they know what their gifts are. There are people who believe they know what their spiritual gifts are. There are some who believe their natural gift can be used for a spiritual purpose. Some are, I don't know what my gift is. And then some people have no idea what I'm talking about. But here's the reality. God's scripture has given us some criteria. God's word has given us criteria of what the purpose of gifts are. And that's what I want us to look at a little bit right now. So the first point, and this is borrowing a little bit from last week, but we're going to look also at the book of Romans to see what Paul is talking about with respect to gift. So here we go. The first point, the purpose of the spiritual gifts is to serve others and to glorify God. Did you catch that? Serve others, glorify God. Every Christian, let me tell you, you have a gift. There's no such thing as a giftless Christian. You have a gift given by God. Now, you may not have discovered it yet, but you have a gift. Don't let the enemy rob you into thinking you have no gift. Paul even speaks this to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that every spiritual gift given by God is to serve others and to glorify Him. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, 15 also validates that same principle. So guess what? When you ask yourself, what's my gift, or you know it's your gift, you need to start putting your gift in the criteria of, am I serving others and am I glorifying God? That's going to be a real big, good place for you to start. Because you're going to start checking your own motivations with your gift also when you start asking and answer that question. But now the second point. Gifts are bestowed by God, not men. The very nature of a Christian work is high and it's hard. You know, kind of a pet peeve of mine when someone says, oh, you know, when you get to be a Christian, it's never hard again. Let me tell you something. When you're going to go and proclaim the truth of Jesus to a world who does not want to hear the truth of Jesus, that is high work. What do I mean by high work? I mean, you're talking about the excellencies of the King. You're talking about the glory of Jesus. You're talking about the return of the Lord. You're talking about His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, His love, His long-suffering. That's high work. And it's hard work. Why? Because the world doesn't like to hear the alternate of absolute truth. We live in a world today where truth is very syncretic. That's a fancy word for saying anything goes. Anything goes. Your truth, my truth, his truth. And I love it when, and I mean that sarcastically, I love it when Christians will comment, I came across this great truth. Yeah, from who? And they quote some New Age philosopher. And it's like the Bible truth is too hard. But if it's someone else, it's like, wow, that was deep. That really changed my world. Really? That changed your world? What about the word of the Lord? Did that not change your life? Did that not change your world? Because it's a reward. You know, I love this idea when people say, well, my gift, you know, it's just not special. You know, it's bestowed by God. Yeah, I got it. Listen, don't disparage your gift. It was given to you by God. God gave it to you. It has a purpose. It has a meaning. And when you disparage the gift, or you look at the gift and say, this is what you gave me? You're disparaging the Lord. It's like, God, that's the best you had for me? Let me tell you, the gift is special. And Paul even exhorts back in Romans now. Here's our Romans passage from today. In Romans 12:11, Paul uses this phrase, not to be slothful in business. Now that's an interesting phrase. Well, business, what do you mean business? But Paul uses a business terminology. Let me actually translate this for you. It's amazing when you read this. Romans 12:11, do not be slothful in business. The word business in Greek translates into English as zeal, diligence, purpose, or energy of action. Now let me reread this with that being said. Paul says, do not be slothful in your zeal. Do not be slothful in your diligence. Do not be slothful in your purpose. Do not be slothful in your energy for action with your gift to declare the King. Don't let your zeal flag. See, the gifts are bestowed by God, not men. When man gives you a gift, he can take it away. He can shut you down. He can close your doors. But God says in His Word, the door I open, no man can shut. And the door that I shut, no man can open. So when it comes to the gifts, know that if God gave it to you, you have a purpose to not let your zeal flag. Don't get slothful. Don't disparage. Now, point three. In all duties of life, aim to glorify God. He is the chief end. He, by His grace, gave you the gift. Don't get caught up in this. You know, I love when Christians like to compare stuff. Well, he has this, and I have that, and he has this. Don't get caught up in comparing yourself against other believers in the faith. That's a bad thing, a bad cycle. What does he get to do and I don't do? Don't do that. You know why? Because God gave you a gift and God gave him a gift and God gave her a gift. And those gifts have specific purposes for the whole body. So don't look at your gift like, well, my gift's kind of lame and his gift's so great. Don't get caught up in that game. In fact, Paul warns this to the Ephesians in chapter 3, but then Paul also says it back in Romans. Romans 12:4. For we are many members. Hello? There's many diversities amongst us. There is many of us who are in this body. There's several members, but we are all of one body. So why would you compare yourself if the whole thing is we're on the same team? That's kind of like baseball, right? The guy who says, I'm the third baseman versus the guy who's the first baseman. Well, you know, why do we need the first baseman? He's on your team. You need him. He has a gift set that makes that team function. Just like you have a gift set and you pull one of those guys off those positions, your team is not as good. Your team's not as good. In fact, it even goes a little bit further here in Romans 12:6. Paul says, having then different gifts according to the grace given to us. Why did you get your gift? Was it because you were worthy to get the gift? Was that why? Oh, Lord, I was so worthy to get that gift. I just walked in the front door and you're like, oh, you're here. Let me just give you the bank. No, we all walked in unworthy. It was by His grace. It was by His mercy. It was by His love. His sacrificial love. You came in and entered in this relationship and then He bestowed upon you gifts of love and mercy and grace. So then we get to point four. Use the gift. Paul exhorts Timothy, fan into the flame that the gift of God has given you. Do not neglect your gift. Be diligent in these matters and wholly give yourself to them. Guess what? You'll never exhaust the gift, but you have to use the gift. Have to use the gift. I just love it. You know, again, back to the package of a gift. If I give you a t-shirt or I give you some item and say, open this up and use it, and you say, oh, that's great, and put it on the shelf, you're not using the gift. Use the gift. In fact, there are times, let's just face it, that the gift is a little bit of a trial to use. You have to refine it. You have to rekindle it. You have to work hard at it. And that's why I want to also mention point five. It's your gift, but it still takes God. Did you just hear that? It's your gift, but it still takes God. And again, Paul makes this so clear to us. The gift only works correctly, not because of your power, but because of your faith in His authority. Oh, I did it all. You did nothing of yourself. You didn't save anybody. You didn't heal anybody. You didn't set anybody free. You didn't do anything except trust in faith and the authority of God, and God's power set them free. God's power healed them. God's power saved them. God allowed you to be a part of the gift He gave you to go and bless others and glorify Him. And that goes right back to point one. The gift is to serve others and glorify Him. And we get this a lot when we hear believers, and I'm guilty of it too, say, oh, let me tell you what I did. I didn't do anything. That's kind of common language, but if we're not careful, that common language gets into a mindset of, I did it. I did it. It's my ministry. It's my thing. It's my... We've got to be careful here. We've got to be careful here. So I say to all of us, yes, work. Yes, labor. Yes, strive. Yes, contend. Absolutely wrestle, but trust in God. It's going to take His power. You fan the flame. You be diligent. You give yourself wholly, but trust God now. Trust God now. And then the final point is, love is the true measure of the gift. I mean, this is what Paul says, right? Paul actually goes into the whole point. He says, you know, you can go ahead and have the gift of this, and you have the faith that moves mountains, but if you have no love, and I mentioned that last week out of 1 Peter 4, where it's what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, you can do it all and find out it's vanity if you have no love for God. So how do you recognize your gifts? Well, here we go. One, there's two steps to recognizing your gifts. And you're going to be a little bit surprised at how I'm going to fill this out here today, maybe. One, it takes commitment to recognize your gift. What would I mean by that? I want to ask you a question. Are you truly committed to the will of God? Are you truly committed to the will of God in your life? Are you committed to His directing you? Are you committed to His teaching you? Are you committed to His placing of you? Are you committed to Him putting you in a position where your gift gets sharpened as iron sharpens iron? Now, a lot of people say, yes, I love this. I'm committed. You know what? I totally believe them to be true. I believe people are being sincere when they say, I'm committed. The problem is, their commitment has been made out of a point of excitement. Something exciting happens, and they're like, I want in! I'm in! The problem is, as soon as the commitment gets challenged, the commitment fails. It starts to waver. They're not sure what's going on. You know, the disciples were just like this. I love the disciples because we get so much of the life of the disciples in this. The disciples are just like that, right? They're in the boat. storm is going, it's rocking the ship left and right, and Jesus is not on the boat on this trip, and then there's one half of the group that's saying, we're going to sink! And the other half of the group is saying, oh, there's someone on the water! And whoever the genius was that said this, it's a ghost! These are the disciples! It's a ghost? Really? But there was something about Peter that was a little bit different, wasn't there? Peter had a faith and a commitment. We love to jump on Peter because he sank. But Peter was the only one in the boat that said, if that's you, Lord, call me and I'll come out to you. Peter had a commitment and a faith. He was committed on those levels. In this near, turn around. So the guy in the Corvette comes over and goes, you Christians are all the same. You're always doom and gloom. End is near. It's all over. And next thing you know, he leans on the gas, turns around the corner, and you hear this massive explosion and a yell. And the Christian with the pen turns to the other guy at the sign. He goes, you know, maybe you should change that sign to say, bridges out, road under construction. What do I mean to say? You know what? A lot of us get so hung up on doing things our way with our gift, right? We say, oh, I'm going to do it my way. And then when it doesn't happen that way and the gift's not working like it should be working, we start blaming other people. We start pointing fingers. Oh, well, it would have worked if you had recognized my gift. It would have worked if you had done more for me. Sometimes God is putting you in a position. Hello? God's putting you in a position where He's teaching you, I need you to commit. I need you to buckle in. I need you to strap in. I need you to think about all the twists and turns of life you're going through. Is God trying to bring you to a stage of getting those gifts active in your life? Active in your life. Getting those gifts moving forward. You know, I don't believe anyone in this room at Maranatha is here by accident. I don't believe you're here because someone invited you, though someone may have invited you, or you got here by the internet, or you got here because some ad in the paper. I believe you're here because God brought you here because you have a gift for the body. And you're meant to not only use the gift in the body, you're meant to allow the gift to grow in the body. And then you're also meant to allow the gift to grow to such a level where you extend outside of the body. But you're not here by accident. And let me tell you, God's twists and turns in your life is God bringing you to stages of, I need you at this season to commit. I need you at this season to strap in. But that one who iron sharpens iron, the gift. So that's the first point, commitment. But the second point is maturity. And sadly, just because we may be older or we may have had a longer walk with Christ, it doesn't mean that we're actually spiritually mature. Let me say that again. Just because we're older and just because we've had a long walk with Christ doesn't mean we're spiritually mature. Now, we see that happening in today's society. I hate this show. I've seen it only half of a second and I despise the very idea of the show. Betty White is off her rocker, or off their rocker with Betty White. Have you seen that show? I love the idea that the world thinks it's funny that old people acting like 12-year-olds is somehow mature and good entertainment. And then we turn around and we have young people like MTV's single mom who's a teenager and we expect her to live like a mature adult. What's happening in our society where our elders are being encouraged to act like 10-year-olds and our 10-year-olds are expected to act like elders? Guess what? There's no wisdom of God in society any longer. There's no wisdom in elders or young people because God is being removed from society. What that means is we lack maturity. It should be that someone who is an elder has the spiritual maturity of the gift, but it's not always the case. And it should be that our younger generations are excelling to want to be mature, but it's not always the case. And I tell you that because here's the point. God wants your gift to mature. He wants your gift to mature. Let me tell you something about Joshua, my son Joshua here. He is a better guitar player than I will ever be. And it's not because he's had more classes. And it's not because if I picked up the guitar right now and tried to play it and took classes, I'd be better than him. I'm not talking about how much he's practiced. He's a better guitar player than I'll ever be. But guess what? He will only be a better guitar player beyond his stage because of what I will teach him in his life. And I will never teach him one note on the guitar. As his father, I will teach him how to mature. I will tell him, Joshua, you need to commit to this guitar. He knows that. He hears it every day. It's 2 hours a day. Some days it's a little bit more than 2 hours. Have you done this? Have you worked on that? And when he gets up, I am quick to say, do not take a break. Go back. Do not talk to me right now. Commit. Practice. We can talk after. I am working on trying to help his gift to mature. And I will never teach him one note. I can't read music. I can't tell him. He can sit there and say, Dad, I already know more than you. You're right. You know more on that guitar to make it sound better than what I could ever do. But I know more about maturity to get you to where you need to be. To not only be an excellent guitar player one day, but also to be a man of God who can use his gift maturely. But I'm also teaching him commitment. You see, God's desiring for you in your life. And again, we read in Romans 12:3. Paul says, use sober judgment. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Live according to the faith given you. In short, Paul is exhorting the Romans, and he's telling us the same thing. You need to take a serious assessment test of your gifts. Are you maturing? Are you maturing? I love it when people say, oh, I know it all. I've done this and I've done that. I could say that. You could say that. We could all say that in certain levels. I can do it. You still need to mature. You still need to mature. I'm just going to tell you, I'm being honest with you. You will be in this walk of life where you have to continually mature the gifts God has given you. So guess what? There's not one simple step formula to discovering your gifts. But let me tell you this. The gifts God gives you requires commitment to the Father. Use the gifts to glorify Him. Bless others around you. And then as you start to walk in that mature lifestyle, you'll discover that the gifts that God is giving you are actually blessing you exponentially. They're positioning you. They are purposing you for even larger fields of reaching the harvest. Let me say it this way. The purpose of the gifts is not for you to, quote, find something else about yourself. Rather, it's to discover that you have the willingness to do whatever God has appointed you to do for the body of Christ and to glorify Him. Amen. It's not about you. We love to say, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about you. We sing these songs. But listen, it is about not your personal discovery. It's about you saying, Lord, I've found you. And I'm willing to do everything I can do at the cross of Jesus to reach others and to glorify you with this gift. So in conclusion, let me wrap this up. We had this two series here. I want to talk to two groups of people. We had the question, do you know your gifts, not know your gifts? Let me talk to the group of people here that believe they know what their gifts are and believe they know what their spiritual gifts are. I want to speak to you for half a second here. If you're in the room and you understand your gift, you understand what God has called you to do, you understand what God has not called you to do, then I want to ask you this question with your gift. What opportunities has God given you to serve Him? What opportunities has He opened up for you? And what opportunities has He closed for you? Right? I remember in my life, when I first got into ministry, work. I didn't get into ministry what I'm doing now. It was 1997, right at the end of 97, middle of 97. And I felt God had said, I want you to serve me. So I went down and I said, I'm going to serve God. And guess what the opportunity God opened up was? Church janitor. I did not think that was a good use of my gifts. I did not think that's what my gifts were. I was convinced that's not what God wanted me to do. But guess what? It was the only opportunity open to me. And I was college educated at the time. And so I served. And it took 2 years. I was in that position for 2 years. And then I was taken out of that position and put into another position. And it wasn't what we would call ministry. I was sitting at a desk doing clerical work, shuffling paper. That was another 2 years. Learning how different programs worked. Hard. But you know what started happening in my life? God started showing me, Joshua, these aren't your gifts, and these are your gifts. And over time, my gifts started to mature. And I'm still on that journey right now. I'm just going to be honest, I'm still on that journey. I'm still learning what gifts I don't have and what gifts I do have. And I'm still being tested for Joshua Johnian to commit and to allow the gift to mature. I just didn't wake up and hop over into this pulpit. And the same goes for you. You see, the circumstances of life that God has brought you to are meant to help you along the journey. And I want to encourage you, if you know what your gifts are, don't be stubborn. Don't be hard and rigid. Be pliable. Let God show you. Yes, there's an opening right here. The slot, the window that's open right now. I can insert you right here. Plug in. Commit. Let the gift mature. Ask that question locally. Ask that question at Maranatha. Ask that question beyond Maranatha. Where can I use my gift? Where can I plug in? Where can I commit? Where can I learn to get sharpened? Now let me talk to the other half of people here. The people that aren't sure what your gifts are. You're maybe asking them. Maybe you have some idea what the gifts are. And I would say this. First of all, seek the Lord. But that seems kind of generic, right? Obviously seek the Lord. Let me tell you to also look to this. What are your natural abilities? And what's your temperament? Now, I say that cautiously because I want you to listen to me very carefully. Do not think your natural abilities are the same as spiritual gifts. Did you hear that? Do not think your natural abilities are the same as your spiritual gifts. But know this. God will give you spiritual gifts and He will use your natural abilities. Did you catch that? Don't think my natural ability is a leader, therefore I'm a pastor. Maybe not. But know this. I'm just using that generically. I could say that. My natural ability is I talk well in front of people, therefore I should be a Bible teacher. Maybe not. But know this. Whatever the gifts are, God will use your natural abilities to advance the gift. And what I mean even further is to say this. Are you the person, if you're still sitting here saying, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm called to do. What are my gifts? I don't know. Okay, Lord, I say this. Go before Jesus and say, Lord, whatever I have, I lay it at the feet of you. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, God. I will serve you gladly with whatever I have. Bring yourself to the cross of Jesus. Let Him break you. Let Him mold you. Let Him make you that vessel for His service. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. Look to your temperaments. Absolutely. Look to your natural abilities. Absolutely. But then say, Lord, show me now. How does this all fit together? Finally, this goes for all of us in this room. Whether you know your gifts, don't know your gifts, or think you might know your gifts. Whether you're mature or you're just beginning, we all need confirmation. Right? We all need confirmation. It's especially rewarding and it's encouraging when we have received edification from our fellowship. And that's why it starts in the body, at the koinonia level. When you use your gift here, guess what? People here are blessed, and people here will tell you how much of a blessing you are. The world doesn't want your gift. The world doesn't care about your gift. You go out there in the world and say, let me preach to you about Jesus, get ready to duck. They're not going to thank you for preaching about Jesus to the world. But they're going to thank you for ministering Jesus in a fellowship. Why? Because it's when you pray that prayer for someone and someone says, thank you so much for praying for me. It's when you teach that word and it blesses them and it edifies them. It's when you sing that praise and worship song and someone says, I was so touched by the Spirit of God. That's where the strength of the fellowship comes. That's when the gifts that you have individually and we bring together corporately strengthen this body in such a way that God gets glory, in such a way that He receives glory, in such a way we say we lay it at the feet of Jesus and we worship you with everything we have, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our natural gifts, our spiritual gifts. Lord, we love you and we give you everything. We need affirmation. And let me tell you, as your pastor in this room, I am greatly affirmed by your willingness to give your gifts to the Lord and give your gifts in the fellowship. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. I'm blessed by you. And I hope you are blessed by what may come from our praise and worship, what may come from our teaching on a Sunday, what may come from our children, what may come on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday. I hope you are blessed on the Sunday morning at 9:30 when we get together. Those are meant to be opportunities for you to be affirmed as the gifts are being given liberally. You see, God has created a new thing. This is what Paul says in Romans 12, 3 through 8. There's a new thing, guys. You know what that new thing is? It's a living body. It's this fellowship. That's the new thing God created. It's us. It's this koinonia. And we're meant to be members of a fellowship, to bring the gifts, to enable the gifts to bless one another, to bless the whole, to function as a body, to live as believers, to practice what we love, to serve one another, to love Him, and to strengthen these bonds. Because when you strengthen these bonds, I will tell you, the Lord will open up the doors for you to minister. It will happen on the workforce. It'll happen on the mission field. It'll happen in your local church. It'll happen every day on a Facebook account. It'll happen in a Twitter feed. It will happen across the board. The Lord will use you to minister. But let me once again bring it all back together. Because today, the past 2 weeks were about the gifts within the gifts. You know why you were given this beautiful gift? As we get right back to what today's Sunday is, Palm Sunday, right? The greatest of gifts that we experience, and what we talk so much about, is that great promise of Jesus' earthly ministry. We could speak all day long about what we thought theoretically, but Jesus lived. He ministered. He walked on this earth and He spoke forth a great message. Not just a great message, the greatest of all messages. And here we are on Palm Sunday, and we're going to next Friday be on Good Friday, and then after that it'll be Easter Sunday. And you see, I love the idea of what I wanted to share about the gifts, because it's because of Him, those gifts have been given to you by His grace and by His mercy, and they've been given to you just like how He ministered out of Him. And I once again want to bring it right back here. If you have a gift, love that gift. And love Him who gave it to you. Bless others. Glorify Him. And I hope you're encouraged by this. This is, of course, by no means the stinging rebuke. It's by no means the pastors trying to whip people into some kind of new position of the church. It's to help you along the road. Because I know a lot of us, as we did that poll, some of us are, I don't know my gift. Others, I think I know my gift. And maybe some of us feel like, I don't feel like my gift gets room in a fellowship. And I'm just going to tell you, as your pastor, you're meant to use the gift at Maranatha. The door's open. The door's open. No one's been turned away. And I want to encourage you, go before the Lord. The Lord. Lord, in my gift, have I laid it all before You? Have I given it all to You? Am I willing to do whatever You need me to do? Am I willing to commit even in an awkward season? Maybe it feels awkward to me right now, but being the church janitor was a great first step.